If you were to go into the magnificent, superfluous basilica of St. Peter, which is really the arch basilica of St. Peter, you would see, as you looked up, of course, there is a magnificent ceiling, hundreds and hundreds of square feet of it. And then when you go up to the papal altar, in front of which is the altar of the confession, where underneath is buried, or are buried, the bones of St. Peter, he is not incorrupt, you would see around the dome, the magnificent dome designed by Michelangelo Buonarroti, a dome so splendid, it is perhaps the biggest dome in all of Christendom, but it is an engineer's paradise. If you go to one edge of the dome and whisper something into it, if a person is on the other side, which is many feet across, the diameter is huge, I don't remember, that is not my purview, but the person on the other side, with his ear to the wall, can hear what you whispered into the one wall. It is incredible. But this is not the thing that is the most incredible. If you were to look around, and of course, you can walk up there, there's a fence around it, a beautiful bronze fence, beautiful. Everything is beautiful because beauty is a reflection of God. And when we worship God, we must worship Him in beauty. That's why common, paltry things, worldly things, do not suffice. For those who worship God in a barn or whatever, forget it. They're not doing that which God wants. Of course, if there's persecution and that's the only place, that's different. But that is not the will of God, and that is not beauty. But when we worship in our temples, and of course, St. Peter is the principal temple of the church. And there you will see in letters that are taller, each letter is taller than these walls. It is so huge. At the end of the apse of the altar, of the papal altar, where there is the altar of the cathedra, and this is the feast of the cathedra of St. Peter, there are four of the fathers of the church. Now, the mitres that the fathers of the church are wearing are about 8 feet tall each. That's their hats. So you can imagine how tall the statues are. The Eastern Fathers and the Western Fathers. Of course, St. Augustine and St. Ambrose are among them. And so in this magnificence, this beauty that the Church, through her Supreme Pontiffs, not all saints, but all trying to do the will of God, with very few exceptions, have done this for the glory of God. And there you will read in these letters that are at least the size or the height of these walls, Tu est Petrus, et super ang Petram edificavo ecclesia meam. Thou art Peter, the rock, and upon thee, the rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against thee. And of course we wonder today, well, if this is true, and of course, how can the word of Christ not be true? Has Christ ever lied to anybody? Has he ever lied to you or to me or anybody? Absolutely not. It's impossible for Christ to lie. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And so he cannot lie. So where does that leave us in this age in which we see so much corruption and so much defection and so much evil among those who are supposed to be the bishops and leaders of the church and the priests of the church? God knows. We have to trust in Him. He knows what He's doing. And we must not fail at our faith. We still believe in Jesus Christ our Lord, in the Father, and in the Holy Spirit. We still believe in the Most Holy Mother, the Immaculate Ever Virgin Mary, in St. Joseph, and all the angels and saints. whom we venerate and who together worship the Trinity in heaven and are worshiping him here now in the tabernacle. Because the Trinity is here and we are connected very, very inexorably to heaven. And so, he knows, and we must trust, and we must pray. And today, as we celebrate the cathedra, the throne of St. Peter, and there are two feasts. We had one last week, the cathedra of St. Peter in Antioch, because he was the first bishop of Antioch. He founded the archdiocese of Antioch, but not to stay there permanently. And that's one of the things. Many people say a bishop should not be moved from one diocese to the other. Well, St. Peter did it by the will of God, because it was the will of God that he should end up in Rome, the center of the universe of the earth at that time. And in many ways, still today, all roads go to Rome, even in this day, for the faith, the truth, and the life come to us from Rome, even if there are many people who are trying to thwart it and destroy it. And after all, did not the devil tempt Jesus in the desert? Did not the devil tempt Jesus in the garden and the agony in the garden and on Calvary and on the way to Calvary? Does that mean that he is not God or that he is not the center of the universe? Of course not. He chose to suffer for us, and we must choose to suffer for him. I was reading earlier about the suffering of Christ from St. Thomas Aquinas. And the fact Jesus took on a human nature, a perfect human nature, but a human nature in its perfection is able to suffer. It is passible. The divine nature is impassible, unable to suffer. Jesus in heaven does not suffer anything. You can't do anything to hurt Jesus now. You hurt him there at the cross and on the way to the cross. But in that passable, capable of suffering human body, he willed, says St. Thomas Aquinas, to suffer in every single fiber of his being. That is, he suffers in his body, which is thrashed about with every kind of torture imaginable. And of course, the body of Christ being perfect, it suffers more than any of our bodies can suffer. And his body does not die at the suffering. It continues to suffer as he did, till it was time. Till he said, "Immanus tuas Domine commendo spiritum meum. Into thy hands, O Lord, I commend my spirit." It is consummated. It is finished. It is done. And then he dies, because that's his will. But in his human body, in his human mind, and in his human soul, all of which he had, even though he was still God, he was still one divine person, the hypostatic union, it's a mystery. We'll see as we try to put some things into the bulletins, and maybe we can start theology class again. For the first 5 or 6 centuries, all the heresies had to do with who Jesus was. True God and true man. And of course, how can anybody understand this? It's impossible. We just take it on faith. And from the fact that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and cannot lie. But St. Thomas says, in every which way he suffered. And he not only suffered in his own body and in his own mind, from seeing all the sins of mankind, including yours and mine, until the very end. But he also suffered in seeing his mother and his beloved disciple, St. John, and his other apostles, and Mary Magdalene, and Mary of Bethany, and Mary of Cleophas, the mother of St. John Mark, and of St. John, and of St. Jude, and St. Simon, whose feast we celebrated Sunday. He saw them all suffering. They were in terror at what was happening to him. Imagine if you saw someone you really, really, really loved going through what he suffered. Do you think you would not suffer? Of course you would. And you are supposed to. And so our Lord suffered not only in his own body and mind, but he suffered when he saw them suffering. And so he suffered completely, 100%, says St. Thomas. And of course, his suffering he has done for us and left to us, and left to us a person and an office, as we see in the Gospel today, which is given to us to guarantee us eternal life. But we must not make a mistake that has been made, especially in the last 130 years or more, 150, especially since the First Vatican Council. The declaration, the infallible declaration of the dogma of papal infallibility, does not mean that the Pope is God. It does not mean that we must worship the Pope. This is a heresy, and it's called papalatry, the worship of the Pope. And many Catholics think that they have to worship the Pope, including especially traditional Catholics. And there are a lot of liberals too, because they say, well, he has said that we must do this and we must do that, including now all these heresies and scandals that are going on today. That isn't what he's Pope for. As Pope Benedict said, the Pope is put there on the chair of Peter, the cathedra of Peter, to teach the truth, to transmit the truth that was given by Christ to the apostles all the way down to the end of time. Not to change the truth, not to modify the truth, not to deny the truth. So we do not believe in papalatry, and we must not be papalatrists. And if you are a papalatrist, then stop it, because that is a heresy, and confess it. We do not worship John Paul, or Pius, or Benedict, or Francis. We worship Jesus Christ, true God and true man. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.